Today on Ask the Podcast Coach, hey, is it worth it?
Let's get ready to podcast.
Oh, yeah. Good Saturday morning. Welcome to Ask the Podcast Coach. That would be me, Dave Jackson. This is where we take your questions live via phone. It's 888-563-3228. Phone lines are open now. Yes, you can call and get right in. And joining me right over there from theaverageguy.tv, the one, the only, Jim Collison. Jim, thanks for being here, buddy.
Greetings, Dave. Great to be here.
How's your how are your holidays season going so far?
The holidays are progressing well. I do have some gifts to go purchase today, so I'm going to get out amongst the mix and get some things done.
There you go. Yeah, I was trying to talk my wife. I'm weird. I like to go to the mall and get into the hustle and bustle and look at all. I like to people watch, period. I like to do that at the airport. So the fact that there are all these people out, I like to do that. And
hate that part.
She was having nothing to do with that last night. She's like, it's Friday.
I'm just going to be honest. I hate that part of the holidays. Yeah, it just drives me nuts. I cocoon up in the basement down here and just like, don't make me go outside.
Well, we do have some exciting news. You ready for this?
Yeah, bring it on.
Not only are we now in iTunes, we have our very first one and only. We have one review, and it came in with not one, not two, not three, not four, but five stars.
Nicely done.
Yes, from Happy Tree Cutter. He says, my wife and I are about to launch a podcast in a couple of days called Life Lessons, and Dave Jackson helped me answer a problem I was having with my audio. So glad I can call in every Saturday if I need help with anything my podcast needs. Thanks, Dave. So there you go. We have our first review. And if you're looking to go over to iTunes, I have that set up. If you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/askcoach, which was kind of the weird thing. And maybe let's talk about that. I actually at one point set up a website because I own the domain name Ask the Podcast Coach. And I started to make an actual separate website for Ask the Podcast Coach. And I'm like, no, because I'm going to end up putting it on School of Podcasting. But then I thought it's kind of confusing if I say, you know, go to schoolofpodcasting.com/askcoach. And I was like, you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm in a mix with you with something I'm doing as well, which I'm taking my home tech. We talked a little bit about this last week. I'm taking my home tech show. We're renaming it, and I'm going to break it out onto a completely brand new site. And that's, for me, I've just had one site, you know, just go to theaverageguy.tv. And I always thought I would have one network with many shows, and that's really messy.
Yeah,
it's also horrible branding because you know no one could ever remember. I'd say, well, let's go watch Home Tech. Well, what's this Average Guy thing? Well, that's the network. Oh, so it's the Average Guy podcast Home Tech. You know, they just nobody could get that. It was awful. It just didn't work very well. Even my own hosts struggled at times to know what show they were on. And you know it's bad if that's the point. So I'm kind of in the same boat. It's like, okay, so Dave, and you've got a bunch more podcasts.
Yeah.
And so do you bring that into, you know, do you bring it into the network, so to speak, which would be School of Podcasting, and make it a feed there, or do you give it its own site and just have it Ask the Podcast Coach? I'm leaning towards, and I think Daniel kind of leans this way as well, as I'm leaning towards one show per site.
Yeah.
So every show gets, because, and then you consolidate. So, but the other thing I'm against is that you having Dave, and I was listening to you on Spreaker this morning as I was waiting for you to come online. I think it was Building a Better Dave, mm-hmm. and it was Thanksgiving. So yes. If you haven't heard that yet, you should probably go out and listen to it. It's pretty funny. But you mentioned in there, send me an email, dave@buildingabetterdave.com. And so I imagine you have Dave at that. You have Dave at schoolofpodcasting.com. You have School of Asta. That, I think, is an overkill. I think you should boil it down to one email address. Use your network email address.
Yeah.
And do that across all shows. I don't think you need to brand for that.
Yeah, that's it. Well, it makes it a hassle because
yeah.
I have all these things going into Gmail. And right. Then it's a matter of when I send it, I got to figure out which hat I'm putting on to send back. And I probably will, because I mean, I had it built. I had I was going to throw Genesis on there. And I thought, because if I want to refer to somebody in the show, you know, I could go to Ask the Podcast Coach / whatever. And that's the other thing, is trying to figure out how many episodes we actually have. Because I went on Spreaker, and it said I think we had 38 because I started this like back in April.
I know. And a lot of them are crap.
Yeah, they're crap. And I was like, you know what? I think I just might, you know, I need to go back and listen and see which ones. But yeah, especially the early ones were just.
Oh, I know. We were just trying stuff out.
Yeah. And I was like, let's just start from here. But yeah, maybe I will. And then what I'll do is probably then also I'll have the main website, but I'll also put like I'll have a player on the School of Podcasting because that content.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Let me tell you what. Here's what I'm thinking, too, along those lines. And maybe this will help a little bit is so I'm going to take the Average Guy site and make it a network and take snippets from each of the shows.
Hmm.
And make a post out of them. Ah. And so I can do cross-linking because that's important for Google SEO, right? Is that you get these cross-links going. Yeah. Yeah.
That's not a bad idea.
That's kind of the thought.
Yeah, because you could put a player on a post, I believe, without it going into your podcast feed. That's the one thing I had.
Yeah. It's got to go somewhere, but yeah. It doesn't necessarily. Yeah. Depending on how you set up your PowerPress, you know, there's PowerPress is super, super powerful and a lot of the things it can do and tons of options in there. So depending on how you set that up, I think you can designate a player that points somewhere else and it won't create. Yeah. Cause that's what you're concerned about is it showing up in the RSS feed, right? Cause it's grabbing that post and showing up in the RSS feed. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I had, when I originally put an episode of Ask the Podcast Coach on schoolofpodcasting.com, it actually went down the School of Podcasting feed.
Right.
And so what I'm doing now is there's a thing in PowerPress called channel casting. And what's really cool is you can even color code it. So when I go into a post, I have a box there. And if I post something, if I put a URL to an audio file in that box, it goes down School of Podcasting. Right beneath it is a box that I have it coded yellow, just so it's obvious to me that this is not normal, you know. And if I post anything there, it goes down Ask the Podcast Coach. So it makes it super easy. Wherever I paste the media URL is what feed it goes down.
Yeah.
And then the right now the Ask the Podcast Coach feed is on schoolofpodcasting.com. So that's where we're at this point. But it does make things...
It does get challenging when you think about your second podcast and what you're going to do with it. Hey, the audience is asking us if we'll turn up a little, our overall volume our up a little bit. Do you have that ability to give an overall?
Yes, we do. Actually, right here in Mixer. How is that, chat? Yes. Oh, ooh, I see now where they changed it. Somebody's listening because if I turn this up too loud, I now get little red lights.
And they're saying, actually, it's just you that's low. And Eric says that's much better. So maybe
that's
you
much
could
better. So I
give yourself a little bit more and I'll adjust on my end.
Let's see if I... Yeah, it's weird because I'm looking at my view meters on my Roland R-05. And it says I'm about as loud as you. But hey, we'll... you know, the audience is always right.
Yeah, well, no, we've got a good crew out there today. So guys, welcome to Ask the Podcast Coach. I think we got some good stuff today. And of course, you can call in, Dave. How do they call in?
It's 888-563-3228. And we'll hear your smiling voice right here.
John says that's good now. John Parker.
Beautiful. Yeah, let me keep an eye on the phone lines here. It's kind of weird. Oh, here. That's the one thing I love about with the whole, you know, whether it's Chrome or Firefox, the fact that you can just easily drag a tab. And yeah, there you go. Mike Phillips says it's probably not calibrated to Mixler. Could be. I got a fun question today, and I thought we'd start off with this one because it's really not a super easy answer. And that is, I had somebody email me and says, "Hey Dave, I'm a young musician, and I helped him a little bit with his website. We got it going, and he's really trying to figure out. He knows he wants to podcast. He just can't quite figure out about what." And he said, "You know, I'm trying to get a group of songwriters together here locally so we can kind of network together and yada, yada, yada." And at the end of it, he said, "Do you think that would be worth it?" And I was like, boy, that's an interesting question. How do you define worth? And so he was still kind of struggling. And I said, well, let me answer. I said, answer this question. I said, when you talk to your wife, because he's married with kids, I said, when you talk to your wife, what topic, when you start talking about it, does your wife roll her eyes? I said, because that's usually a pretty good sign of the thing you talk about the most and that probably you have some passion about because you're always talking about it. And he said, well, again, that's kind of music related stuff and things like that. And I said, well, it really comes down to, you know, what do you want from your podcast? I think when we're talking about worth, it's okay. Well, how are you going to define podcast success? And that varies. There is no one size fits all. If you're a, I know I just have somebody in my how to podcast class that she wants to get out the word about how to live in a world post radiation meltdown. Because she's talking, what was the one thing over in, it's not the Philippines or China where there's a bunch of radiation leaked out. I forget the name of it. But she has a whole thing about like, hey, this is going to really ruin the planet. And that whole, so she's trying to get the message out. So, you know, how do you measure her success? It's hard to say. I guess the more listeners she gets, the more word is getting out, and she might have a community built. Then you have other people that are authors that want to, you know, get people to buy their book. Well, they can measure their worth of their podcast by how many books they sell. You know, and then there are, you know, there's all sorts of different ways of maybe you want to be seen as an expert, or maybe you want to get more speaking gigs, or maybe you just want to get more people that think like you around. And so it's really hard to say, well, is it worth it? Because I know I do the, you know, I do weekly web tools, and it's not a super popular podcast, but I get a lot of feedback from people, you know, so I have a fairly connected community via email. I had a form at one point and it just sat there and it was like crickets. There was just nothing. Maybe I need to do a Facebook group for that. But, you know, so I get a lot of fun stuff. I learn about a lot of fun tools and a lot of WordPress stuff and things like that. So, you know, I'm not making hardly any cash. I think I break even. Somebody will go to my Amazon link every now and then. But, you know, for me, it's fun. It doesn't take a lot of time to produce. And, you know, so that's worth it for me. How would you answer that? Any comments, Mr. Collison?
Yeah, I think it's a great, I think it is a great question. Mike Phillips in chat says, if you have to ask, what am I going to podcast about? By the way, he says, you're not ready to podcast yet.
That's it.
And there's some truth to that, I think, you know, and however we define podcasting, you know, we've argued about that before, but it's, you know, is it worth it? And I think you're right. You have to kind of define your goals, and, you know, listening to Podcasters Roundtable over the last over 2 weeks, whatever that was, with you guys, the John Lee Dumas effect. Mm-hmm. And I think he comes at it from a very different angle than maybe most podcasters do, because there's no doubt in my mind he came at it to make money from day one, right? He is very humble about the way he talks about what he does, but John doesn't do anything unless it's making money. That's the way he is wired. He is just built that way. And so everything he does, that's how he measures success. And so if you're thinking along those lines, then I think you start a little bit differently than you maybe start if you're just going to create a community podcast. And so if you just want to help people, that's kind of the way I started, was, okay, I want to make enough money to cover some expenses and maybe buy a few things for people. My goal was to help people. And so you do things a little bit differently. You make a few different decisions. And so worth it to me is, like you said, like breaking even on it.
Yeah.
So I think you're right. I think you really have to define what your goals are for it. And it's one of those things too. If you just, it's something, like you said, you can't stop talking about it.
Yeah.
You know, if it's just something you're passionate about, you got a lot. And or you maybe have already built a small community around it that you know, that is a way to get people together. I met with a local WordPress, or I tried to, but a local WordPress meetup users group here in Omaha the other day, and there's, you know, there were 25 people signed up for that class or that meetup, and there's some passion around that, right? There's some people who want to do that. That might be, you know, we've got WordPress podcasts in the community, so you might find a local group that's doing something, and you think, oh, I wonder if it's. Chances are, if it's popular local in your area, it's probably nationally popular as well.
Yeah.
So that might be something you want to jump in on as well. At one point, I think, Dave, you have to ask yourself, or you have to tell yourself this, and that is, you got to podcast and not care about what other people say.
Yeah, that's right? It. Because if you really worry about offending people and things like that, and let's not go stupid and just, you know, let's just, you know, blatantly say offensive things. But if you say your opinion and it's what you feel and et cetera, you're going to offend somebody. And I always point to people like, you know, Rush Limbaugh and Howard Stern and any, you know, Bill O'Reilly and John Stewart and all these people voice their opinions. And there are a lot of people that just say they're idiots. But on the other hand, or Donald Trump's another one that really offends people. But they have their convictions and they go with it and they say it. And if you try to be everything to everybody, you're going to be nothing to nobody, as the old saying goes.
Right.
And I'll give you another example. I do the Logical Weight Loss podcast. And I started this podcast 3 years ago to document, quote, my weight loss. And 3 years later, I set a new high for my weight. But along the way, because I actually do that show to basically, it's a pep talk for me. But I let people listen. I talk about, you know, different things I found on the internet. And of course, I'm a geek, so there are gadgets and things like that. But I had somebody email me once that said, Dave, because of your show, I've lost 100 pounds because I heard your one episode where you said, don't look at the big picture, break it down into smaller chunks. So I told myself, I think I can lose 10 pounds. And then I just did it 10 times. And to me, the fact that I'd helped this person and she was so happy and, you know, life was just so much better for her, that I had something to do with that was like almost more than any kind of, as the old MasterCard commercial says, that was priceless. I was like, wow, I actually helped this person. That was really, really cool. So was it worth me spending, you know, whatever, $15 a month for hosting? Yeah, that was. That was really, really cool. That really touched me when that came in. So it really does depend on, you know, what you want to do. I actually, at my blog right now, I have a blog post about getting the cart before the horse. And there is a lot of that. I actually had somebody call me last week that had gone out and spent literally thousands of dollars on equipment. He had a Heil PR40 and the boom stand and the pop filter. And he had all this video equipment. I think he was looking at a VidBlaster. And I mean, he was big time. He had acoustic treatment on the walls. I'm like, great. And he wanted me to help him with his website. And I'm like, okay, yeah. I'm like, great. It looks like you're ready to go. What are you podcasting about? And I about fell out of my chair. And he goes, that's the part I'm working on. And I was like, wow, okay, because that really should be step one. And Mike does have a good point. If you're asking yourself, I'm not sure, it's, you know, that's really step one. What am I going to podcast about? And realize that can always change later. You can always change the format and things like that. But if you don't have a clear idea, it's not time to buy the equipment and the website. And I had somebody that I have my quick start program where I'll actually help you put your website together. But I always say, do you have a name for your podcast yet? Do you have a domain? And if they say no, I'm like, okay, not quite yet then. And so let's redefine that that picture a bit. So
yeah, you're like, let's talk through this a bit. It we have gotten that to that point in podcasting over the last year where the excitement about it. And if you get swept up in this podcaster's community, you know, you will all of a sudden, and Dave, not to, you right. know, your marketing engine is around starting a podcast. And so if I start listening to you within 2 or 3 weeks, I'm thinking, man, I need to start a podcast, right? And not everybody's ready for that to just do it right away. You kind of need to think through it a little bit and have some idea what you're doing and where you're going and what you want to do, set some goals, do some of those kinds of things. Because it's a big commitment once you get into it. And I see plenty of podcasters who start and they get 3 shows out and then they're done. And okay, then that's not bad, right? I mean, it's a great learning experience. Right. And you can learn a ton through it. So, you know, if that's what happens, happens. But it's at the end of the day, it's still a bunch of hard work. I mean, it's fun and exciting and thrilling when you get the first round table together or you get your first podcast produced or you get that done. And then you realize, oh my God, I got to do this again.
Yeah.
You know, and you just poured all your heart and soul into this one MP3 that you are like so excited about. And you want the world to hear it and you get it out and it gets 5 downloads.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, oh, I just spent 100 hours. Cause it does. It takes a lot of work to get everything up and running.
Yeah. That first one is wow.
If you want to, yeah. If you want to get it right.
Yeah. Well, and it's without sounding like a complete, like just teacher, you know, how, you know, they're not mistakes. They're learning opportunities.
Right.
But I heard the analogy for fail this week that I never heard, which is first attempt in learning. And I was like, oh, that's a total teacher thing. I got to steal that one. So you're not failing. And I always fail forward and all those other fun filled catchphrases.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Eventually you just got to do it. Hey, we got a question from John Parker out there in chat. He says, I hear podcasters talking about how many subscribers they have. How can they tell?
Ah, that goes back to the good old days of Feedburner, I believe, is how they're doing that. Or they're looking at their numbers in Libsyn or Blueberry, things like that.
Well, it could be email subscribers too that they're talking about. That's a really good way to get a solid number is your email subscribers.
Yeah, I'm actually logging into, because there is a plugin, he said, trying to log into his Logical Weight Loss Podcast site that's some sort of kind of like a feed burner-ish type of plugin that I can see how many subscribers to my RSS that I have. So
it is a weird number. And just as you're looking that up, Dave, I'll say on my side, you know, when people ask me how many people listen to your podcast. Well, it's a great question because it varies all the time, right? So I look at my Blueberry stats maybe, and those range somewhere between 500 to 1,000, so to speak. So for me, it varies every month, and I'm not actually really, or every show, I'm not even actually really comfortable knowing that that number is 100% accurate. So, you know, I kind of give this broad range of subscribers or listeners or viewers or however you want to say that. And then I'll say, you know, and I get a couple hundred on YouTube, and I get, you know, I get 50 to 100 out on Spreaker, and I get, so, you know, altogether I say, you know, 1,000 is a good number for me. That's just kind of what I've landed on recently. And then if they want to know, okay, what about the site? Well, then I've got some Google Analytics attached to my site that will tell me, I'm looking at those right now. You know, I get about 3,500 visits in a month with about 5,000 page views. So those, when we talk about numbers, that's how I kind of calculate it. And I think the download number or the listener number is just so hard because you have people also downloading it on their phone and they're never listening to it. Right. So is that really a listener? You know, so you have to be careful, and I'm very transparent about all my numbers out there. I'm against this podcaster idea that we can't share, but, it's, you know, for me, that's a good comfortable number. I said, man, I get about 1,000, you know, that's I'm per show. I get about 1,000. That's kind of the numbers I land on. And that's how I do it.
There you go. Well, here's the bad news. When you have a lot of podcasts, and you have one plugin on one of your podcasts, it's kind of a crapshoot figuring out which one it's in.
Yeah.
But I know there is a plugin somewhere that kind of does a number of subscribers that you have. Speaking of stats, I should probably plug that. If you come back to schoolofpodcasting.com/live on Monday night, this Monday, that'll be the 16th of December. I'll be doing a Google Hangout on air with the one, the only Rob Walsh. Now, I always say Walsh, and I think it's Walsh. It's W-A-L-C-H. I need to ask him because I think I keep mispronouncing his last name. He's the VP of Podcasters Relations over at Libsyn.com. And we're just going to basically, I think I'm going to, my plan is I'm just going to pull up my stats for the School of Podcasting and say, now, what does that mean? How do I get this number? And, you know, there's all those different refers and this thing means Safari and this means iOS and that, and just basically go over those because I get those questions a lot. And I just thought, let's have Rob on and go through that. So that's something I'm doing for the School of Podcasting. But, you know, since we're all into the live thing over here.
John asked me the question. That's what I was just talking about, is listens as opposed to subscribers. I don't really care about subscribers, to be honest. I think that's a bad number.
Yeah.
To follow, because like I said, say you have a week where you go viral, right? And you get 10,000 people to subscribe to your podcast, but then they never come back and they're downloading it. I mean, I got podcasts on my phone that I don't listen to.
Right.
So is that really important, you know, from that standpoint? Although that being said, depending upon your phone and what you use, it could be downloading that to the phone anyway. And so I'm counting it. I'm equally counting a bad number in that because it is downloading. You know, if you're using Stitcher and you're only listening, you know, that will only count listens and not downloads, which I think is really nice.
Yeah.
From that perspective. But yeah, it's a tough deal. It's one of those things. That's what, Dave, it's why I don't obsess. I try not to obsess about it, right?
Yeah.
I get a couple numbers. I make a big round. The CFO of our company likes to talk about everything in the terms of holidays. So anything that happens in the company is like, well, around Thanksgiving or well, around 4th of July, right? He doesn't ever get exact, right? And maybe with podcasting, we should be that way too, which is just like, well, you know, I'm about this. and Mike Phillips said, you know, a lot of folks don't want to say their numbers because they're low. Well, right. Then be low. You know, I started with 100 people too.
Yeah.
You know, and that's okay. Just it's your goal.
Well, I see where John is saying he's sending out direct links to the MP3, not so much the episode like post. Do I see any downfall to that? Well, depending on their browser, I mean, most browsers now will play an MP3 file thanks to good old HTML5. The only thing I could think of.
Branding.
Yeah, branding. And, you know, if you send them to the post and they like it, I'm assuming somewhere on your website you have a place to subscribe.
Or you're telling them to come back to your site, right? I mean, if your goal is to make a little bit of money and you have advertising and stuff to sell on your site or whatever, you want them, you ultimately want them to hit the site first and then listen. But if it's working, hey, if it's working and you're branding inside your podcast appropriately, in other words, giving them enough information, but not too much, as we know, to come back to your site, hey, a listen's a listen. So,
right.
You know, yeah, if it's working, do it. I don't see any drawback to it.
Mike, I was going to try to add you via Skype, and I typed in Mike in easy for me to say, in my Skype here, and it's like, I have a bunch of Mikes, none of which are, maybe you're Michael. Are you Michael Phillips? No?
Yeah, you know, John, so you're using that method to expose your show since it's new. Hey, I think when you're new, or anytime, if you get an opportunity to get the word out about your show, you take it, whether it's a direct MP3 or, you know, whatever, you get the opportunity to throw that thing in there and see if you can increase your exposure. So no, I don't think that's that bad. You know, eventually they'll listen to it and they're like, how do I get more of this? That's, I hope, the question that you're hoping they'll ask.
Yeah, there's a thing. We talked about that episode with John Lee Dumas over at the Podcasters Roundtable. If you go over to podcastersroundtable.com/22, there's actually a spot in that roundtable where John says something and Ray freaks out. He's like, whoa, I can't believe you just said that. And I said, that's kind of the content we need, that you want to go tell your friends about. And I was over at the podcast review show. I just reviewed a podcast called Hillbilly Nerd Talk. And it's actually not a bad show. And he had some kind of, he's somewhat of a conspiracy theorist kind of guy. Not even so much that. It's just, there are things that our government does that should be news, but for whatever reason, it's not on the news. And he was talking about how if you, on YouTube, if you type in 1960s, I think television sign off or something like that, it's weird. You know how they used to sign off? They didn't used to have 24-hour TV, and there's subliminal messages in it, like blatant subliminal. You don't see them, but it's one of those things, does subliminal messaging work or not? That's a whole other thing. But it was really interesting. And I said, that was really good content because, as you guys can tell, I'm sitting here telling you about it. I was like, wow, that's something you might want to check it out. It's kind of weird. It's media related and blah, blah, blah. And I said, that's, I think part of it is you have to have that content that, people want to share, is another great way.
That, yeah.
So
Eric Dingler just asked a question. He said, speaking of branding, I have a branding question. We want to launch a podcast as a production of our overall brand. Our site is familylifeuniversity.org, and the podcast will be School of Parenting. By the way, Eric, I'd like to talk to you about that. Would you recommend a separate website URL for the podcast? So Eric, we talked about that. It's funny that you asked that. You must've missed the first 10 minutes of the show. We talked a little bit about that right up front, and I think at this point, and I won't speak for Dave, I recommend, or I'm driving towards, every podcast has its own website.
It does make it easy. I mean, I've gone that route where I used to have the power of podcasting, and I had More Podcast Money, which was really about promoting my book. And Mike, if you're ready, I'm going to add you to the call. So just so you know.
Okay. And Dave, I've got a recommendation question for Mike too when we bring him in.
All right, so I'm going to bring him on in. I guess he can always, so we'll see what happens here.
Here he comes.
So I've gone that route where I split everything up. Now, in that case, the content of those shows would have fit on the School of Podcasting. So I just had people say, why did you do that? You're making me look for the information. You know, why not just put that stuff about making money on the School of Podcasting? Why not make the power of podcasting just part of the School of Podcasting? So in that case, I did. So so that's what I did in this case. So I those sites are still there, but that content now, like because of my podcast, that segment I do on the School of Podcasting is basically a shrunk down version of the power of podcasting. So if it fits in, you know, maybe keep the same website. But it is nice. I mentioned earlier, if I wanted to direct somebody to something we talked about on this show, you know, I could go, you know, schoolpodcasting.com/ask, you know, 33 or something like that. But that's, it's weird because it's Ask the Podcast Coach, but I'm saying School of Podcasting. So the branding gets a little squirrely.
It's not easy.
Yeah. So Mr. Phillips.
Yes, sir. How are you?
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
What's going on, my man?
I don't know. Just sitting here finishing up one show, moving on to the next.
There you go.
Hey, Saturday mornings are a busy time.
I have a question for you. This was from Dwayne. He wrote in and said, Dave, what are your thoughts on the Blue Yeti microphone? And I looked into it and they threw out fun words like cardioid. And I basically said, this is a condenser microphone. And my question that you might know is, I know there's like three or four settings on the Yeti. Are any of them, those settings, going to make it sound like a dynamic?
No.
Okay, that's what I told him. I said, I think that's not, it's not a horrible mic. And
well, but this, you bring up the point here that people very much misunderstand. We dog on condenser mics all the time. Condenser microphones are fantastic microphones. Almost all recording studios use a great majority of condenser microphones. They are the top of the line. The problem with a condenser microphone is, well, think about this. The purpose of a microphone is to pick up sound. A condenser microphone picks up more sound than a dynamic microphone does. Unless you are in an acoustically treated room, which no one is in the podcasting business, except maybe Stephen Haywood, unless you're in an acoustically treated room, if you have a condenser microphone, it's going to pick up the room reflections, the echoes, the hollow sound that you get, the computer fans. It picks up all these things, and that's just not what we want. It's so much easier to use a dynamic mic for that purpose, and it sounds, if it's a decent mic, it sounds as good or better than a condenser mic, and it's generally a heck of a lot cheaper.
Yeah, there you go. Well,
Blue Yeti, never. I mean, I insulted a guy not too long ago, and I didn't mean to do it. It wasn't intentional. I said, whatever you do, stay the heck away from him. And he says, that's what I use. Oh, well, and I mean it sincerely. If you're happy with it, who is to say don't use it?
Right.
I mean, the name of the game is, are you getting the results? I mean, Andrew Zarian is using a very nice, expensive condenser microphone. It works great for his application. But it turns out that the acoustics in the room where he is, he has not done a lot of acoustical treatment, but it turns out the acoustics in his room are favorable for him to be able to use the microphone.
Absolutely. It even says that on, because I went looking for the definitions. I was like, I'm pretty sure cardioid means like a heart-shaped and blah, blah, blah. And it even says on the one website, it's like, this is a great microphone in the right environment. And that's the key. And it's like you said, in most cases, the average podcaster does not have the best environment with the
you know, I used a Yeti Blue the first or the second year of iOS podcasting, and I liked it a lot, but you're right. It literally picked up. I mean, if I dropped a pen on the floor, it's picking it up. And it was so the sound was good. It's also a super tough mic. I mean, it's the way it's built. You can haul that thing around, and it's a pretty tough microphone. But for the beginning podcaster, it's one of those things. I used it. I don't recommend it as one of those tools. Now it's sitting on my desk. It looks nice. It's a really cool looking mic.
Well, that's debatable. I mean, it's like a beautiful woman. If she's got snakes in her head, the beauty fades quickly.
Yeah, well, it sits on my desk as a nice trophy to another day of podcasting.
I've got a blue snowball sitting over here that never gets used. It's a condenser microphone. In and of itself, it's not a bad piece of equipment. But to me, it's not the right microphone for the application.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let me, Mike, I asked you to come on because I had a question. I had a recommendation question for you. Sure. Around lapel mics, because we are, I work at Gallup and we're building a learning studio, and I want the instructor in the center of the room to be mic'd up. We're going to funnel all this through a Google Hangout. And so it's going to run a lot like a podcast from that standpoint. But I need the instructor to be lapel mic'd up, and then we're going to have to push the audio back to him probably via Bluetooth. So, because we don't want any sound in the room. And so he'll have earbuds on like a TV newscaster would with mm-hmm. where he's hearing the sound, but nobody else is. Right. It'll be in a produced environment. Do you have any recommendations? I'm assuming at this point I'm going to need probably a wireless lapel to be able to pull this off. You got any recommendations on some good lapel mics that I might want to look at?
Keep in mind that I am absolutely not a fan of lapel mics, lav mics. They are a necessary evil. If you want the absolute best one that money can buy, in my opinion, then you need to take a look at the Electrosonics. Let me see if that's right.
In your opinion, the ones that come down the side of your face, you know, the head mounted mics with the real thin, are those any better than lapels or probably worse?
Okay. They're probably better. I detest looking at them.
Yeah.
But they are better because the microphone is closer to your mouth.
Yeah, I just thought of that. We use those at our church.
Well, it becomes debatable as to whether then should you use a unidirectional or should you use an omnidirectional. And if you can get away with omnidirectional, which you probably can if the room is large enough, and a lot of conference rooms are acoustically treated, so you can usually get away with it. But take a look at the Countryman D6. That's a really good one. There are quite a few out there. I know Audio Technica has released some. The Audio Technicas, they have a BP-892 as far as the head-worn mic is concerned, but I can't make it comfortable on my ear. It's just not comfortable.
Yeah, and this will be a situation where they'll have these on, you know, potentially 2, 3, 4 hours at a time. So I want it to be comfortable for them.
Yeah, and anything that you wear like that is going to be a problem. It will wear on you after a while. But to take a look at that Countryman D6, it's only one of many. All manufacturers are making them. But as far as the body pack is concerned, for example, the Electrosonics makes the best sounding one that I have heard in person. They're very expensive. But if you need to scale down from that, and if it's only used for a hangout, I don't think you need to go full network quality, which is what the Electrosonics is. I would scale back and use something like, I know that Vance Willis on TTFN.tv has a couple of Sony wireless mic packs, and I think he paid about $800 or $900 for the transmitter plus the receiver and the microphone. He did buy some additional microphones to play around with, and I used it for a wedding, and it worked. They worked really well. They have good coverage, and I tend to think that if I were going to buy something less than $1,000, I probably would look at the Sony wireless series.
And is that pack an all-in-one? So is it both transmit and receive? And then on the other end?
No.
No,
you have the IFB will have to be separate, and then particularly if you use something like Bluetooth.
Yeah, I'm only thinking Bluetooth because for audio, because that's what I know. But if there's a unit that's an all-in-one, in other words, where I put the receiver on the, you know, on the PC side and I put the transmitter on the person and it's a body pack that does both, I'd go that direction. I just never bought anything like this and don't know if they even sell that.
If they have that. I'm not really into the video with audio thing.
Sure.
In a live stand-up level, I've done it and it's not that hard. As long as you're not trying to get studio quality audio, which you don't normally need that for video because it's more forgiving. But it goes back to what you want to spend. If you've got the money, then I would look at the commercial IFB packages, ClearCom or whatever the ones, I forget the brand names, although there are several of them that are used typically by your TV stations. That are extremely reliable. Believe it or not, the fidelity of the last one I saw was not that good. You're only looking for a cue. You're not looking for musical enjoyment. They're typically mono earpieces. Okay. And I'd look at that. But if for people who are listening who want to do that sort of thing and do it cheaper, I don't remember where, because I have been hit so hard with so many Christmas specials and email in the last 3 weeks. I can't remember what I've seen where. Yeah. But someone had an in-ear monitoring system, typically like used for bands on stage. They had an in-ear monitoring system for $200.
Whoa.
And that could be used for that sort of fold back or return audio to someone on stage. And it's got like a 30, 40 foot range, but it may be adequate.
Okay. Good to know. Eric also mentions a Samsung. So SAMSONCT7.
No.
Don't you like about that, Mike?
I look. This is where I get into trouble, Eric. I am not insulting your equipment. If it works well for you, then it is the right one for the job. I am the first to admit that. But generally, Samsung is a very low-end, budget, not well-designed product. There are exceptions like the Q2U microphone, which is the same as the ATR2100 for all practical purposes. But I warned some guys about be careful if you buy Samsung. Make sure you know what you're getting. Look for the reviews because they have some models that are good. They have some models that are bad. He said, well, this is all I can afford. This is what I can buy. So he bought a couple of them, took them out on a shoot, and when he got back, he sent them back and got his money back.
Yeah. I had a wireless system for my guitar. And I actually had a Spinal Tap moment where I'm, you know, in the middle of playing and all of a sudden I don't know if we were picking up CB radio or whatever it was, but all of a sudden I'm playing. It's like Breaker 1-9. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Hold on a second.
So yeah, but I mean, all of them can be subject to that sort of problem. That's not a Samsung exclusive issue, but the way you get around that, of course, is with digital encoding, with algorithms that are like VPNs, with passwords that are hard to crack.
Right.
And you have to pay for that. I mean, you're not going to get that for $200-$300.
Right. There you go.
Well, good to know. That's very helpful. That area for me is new. This, you know, I've done a lot of church work, and that's where this is most common, right? Is when you got guys on the churches use a lot of this kind of equipment. Sure. But I haven't really dug in on it.
And Eric makes a fabulous point. He says that the quality has held up very well at summer camp that he runs. They're hard on it. And, you know, kids, it's been really great for us. And Eric, you hit the nail on the head. You don't want to take a $3,000 system and go out there and have kids jump in the swimming pool without taking it off. So, I mean, you buy the right tool for the application. And if it does the job for you, then my opinion's irrelevant.
Yeah, it depends on what you're doing with it and where you're doing it and all those other kind of things.
Mike, let me ask you this question then. If I'm setting up this kind of equipment in that kind of room, so it's a large conference room, you know, it maybe would seat 10 comfortably just to get that idea of a space. And I'm running all this audio from a single, you know, speaker in the room, giving some, and the goal would be to give some virtual training to folks, you know, maybe 5 or 10 folks through a Google Hangout and such. Do I really need to worry about running that through any kind of compressor or limiter or gates or any of those kinds of things?
No.
Okay.
No, right? And just to go to the Hangout?
Yeah, just right into just feed it right into the Hangout.
Well, there is some audio processing in the Hangout in the voice mode.
Okay.
I did not just say you don't have to have somebody watching levels.
Right.
You've got to have somebody watching it and operating, not set it up and then go sit there and do something else. I mean, somebody keep an eye on it because these little headset mics can shift a tiny bit because they are so close to their mouth. If you think about the sound field varies with the inverse of the square. So if you move it twice the distance, it's 1/4 the volume. So it changes rapidly in close proximity to your mouth. So something can shift a tiny bit and the level can change significantly. Somebody needs to be sitting there riding levels. If you add a compressor to that, say, well, I'm just going to level it out. Then let's say that you add 6 dB of compression to the signal. When the guy stops talking, the noise floor comes up by 6 dB because the compressor relaxes and in essence turns the level up by 6 dB. Which is really not turning it up. It's not turning it down. It's a double negative. But so what that means is that he's talking, he takes a break, the compressor relaxes, and effectively increasing the gain 6 dB. So he takes a breath, and it says I'm going to make a sentence, and then he's going to start his next sentence. And then he's going to do his next sentence. You can hear these in between noises because the compressor is actually increasing the noise floor during the audio.
That's good to know.
That's why you have a gate or an expander or a threshold on these things, so that in between, whenever the level drops below a certain point, the compressor doesn't just crank it all the way up. Have you ever been watching the news or listening to something on the radio, and the guy on the radio, for example, takes a pause, and then all of a sudden you hear this?
I've heard that a lot in Google Hangout.
That's compression. That's the compressor relaxing. And when it relaxes, it's trying to find an optimum volume level, and it grabs whatever it can find and cranks it up, which is usually noise that you don't want cranked up.
Right. And I knew Google Hangouts were really aggressive when they first started with that. They've gotten a lot better in that area. I'm not hearing that like I used to. And it was really bad when I was running like the Yeti Blue. If you run that on there, because it's so sensitive, and then when that compressor picks up and tries to find a sound, right, it's looking for noise at that point, it'll pick up anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the equipment that we used to use in the radio business has a threshold on it. It was called an expansion threshold, and what it would do is whenever, I don't know if you don't want to get this deep into it, but in essence, this program processor, if the level's too loud, it brings it down. If it's too low, it would bring it up. But if it was below a certain threshold, it did nothing, so that it didn't bring up this noise in between sentences. It would only level out the audio. I mean, that device in 1974 was $3,500.
Mm. Right. Right. Well, you answer my question, Mike. Thanks for a few minutes to jump in here and get that done. David, anything else for Mike while you got him?
Just where can we find your podcast?
I don't have a podcast. I actually contribute to Computers 2K Now on Sunday mornings. It's a live show. We do make it available by download, but all the fun is being in the chat. And it's computers2know.com on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. And interestingly enough, we actually do a live radio broadcast Saturday mornings, which is what I did this morning. And it's featured right here on Mixlr. It's Rick's House, mixlr.com/Rick's House. From 8 until 10 on Saturday mornings, every morning. It's a show that we originate on the internet, and actually the purpose of the show is for a terrestrial radio station, which we transmit it back to them, and they air it live.
Cool.
Very thanks, cool. Mike.
All right, thanks, guys.
Yep. Appreciate it. Great talking to you.
Likewise.
Well, we have the question of all questions from Ken Kassler in the chat room here. He says, I'm new, but I'm committed. My podcast, Thinking Outside of the Box, is about innovations and ancient stuff, too, regarding holistic health and holistic living. I have 12 episodes recorded and 3 up on iTunes now. That's a good point right there. I'm glad to see you didn't release all 12, because you can, whatever your schedule is, you can roll those out as you're getting more content. My question, talk about keywords and avenues for promoting. Well, in terms of promoting, you got to be in iTunes, definitely got to be in Stitcher. If you go to BlackBerry, actually the best place to go probably at this point, if you go to podcast411.com is where I usually send people. That is, there's a directory of directories there. And you want to make sure, like, don't list it in the Spanish podcast directory unless, of course, you're speaking Spanish, things like that. So being in those directories, it doesn't hurt. You know, if I'm listed in the, you know, whatever, what's the one? Two Thumbs Up podcast, I think. What's the one from Steve? Oh, that's going to drive me crazy. But there are a bunch of different directories out there. None of them really are going to... Everybody's looking for that switch to just, how can I get 5,000 downloads tomorrow?
It's just work.
Yeah. So that's part of it. And, you know, When I hear holistic health, I'm not sure I know what that means. Unless it means like herbs and, you know, not a typical type of medicine type of thing.
Well, I think his point, though, it is fairly niche-y, that area. That is a, you know, health food, organic, acupuncture, chiropractic. You know, everybody defines it a little bit differently, right? I'm sure, depending on where you're in the country you are. I think the point is, though, that, and he says, you know, possibly even niching down, which is, how do I get deeper into more specific stuff? Let's just talk a little bit about, if you're on your site, when you talk about keywords and SEO, right, there's a couple things that are really important. So your title that you put out there is the most important thing that you put out on there. That needs to be title right, but you can't overdo it, right? You can't load your title up with keywords and have it make no sense. I mean, I guess you could, but it's just rude. I mean, don't do that, right?
Yeah.
Have the title kind of make sense, but make sure you're getting your keywords in your title. That's really important. And then if you listen to Matt Cutts over at, he's a Google employee, fights Google spam for us through the SEO engines that are over there. Matt would say you need to get those terms also in the body, but again, you don't want to overdo it, right? Google's going to crawl that body for some information and index those words for you. So, but you don't, you know, I don't know if you've ever gone to a post before and you're seeing it was optimized for a Google spam bot and none of it makes sense, right? It's just a whole bunch of list of keywords. Google is actively cracking down on that so that kind of stuff doesn't happen. And so you will get a bad mark from the Google crawler on that. And let's be honest, the Google search engine right now is the only one that really matters, right?
Right.
All the rest of them are all kind of in second, a far and distant second place from a search engine standpoint. So you want to make sure in the body you're getting the right keywords, but you're not overdoing it. Again, it's a balance. What's the right amount? I don't think anybody really knows. And Google's not going to release that, right? They're not going to give out their secret sauce. So just be truthful in there, but make sure that the post is important. Dave, you know, you and I, we spend some time talking about these show notes and how hard they are to do. They are super, super important. Not only what you're putting in there, but the links that you're putting in there are important. And then I think the other thing I would say about niching down is get other folks in your niche to cross-link back to you. That is super, super important from a SEO standpoint. The more cross-links you have back to your site, the better your search ranking is and the higher you'll show on a Google search. So if you can get folks in your community to link your stuff on their site, that's good.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing that I know there's a WordPress plugin called, I think it's just called WordPress SEO by a guy named Yoast, who, from what I understand, he used to do the WordPress podcast. I think it was, I forget the official name of it is, but he's somewhat well known for being a ultimate like SEO guru, and he has a plugin that will go in and more or less grade your post and say, look, what are the keywords you're looking for in this post? And it'll say, well, your keywords aren't in your title and you've only got this many words and, you know, this is not here. So it basically gives you insights into that. It's a pretty robust plugin in terms of SEO. And, you know, if you want to take the time, the bad news is, that's the good news. The bad news is I put a link here. If you go to yourwebsiteengineer.com, Dustin Hartzler, who actually just got a job at WordPress at Automattic because of his podcast, did a tutorial on how to get the most out of that plugin. Cause it is a little, you know, when you get into SEO, there's so much stuff there, but the thing I read over and over and over, and I wish I could remember the website I was looking at today. It was like 60-minute marketing messages or something like that. And they said, the bottom line when it comes to Google is, number one, quit trying to scam the system. That just never works. And it says, write your post for people and write it to a certain extent for Google. So you want to look at what keywords are going to be happy. But I can't say, you know, today on School of Podcasting, we're going to be talking about media hosting, because media hosting is what we're talking about today on the School of Podcasting, because media hosting is where you host your media files on a media host. It just doesn't make any sense. You have to write for people. Yeah. Will I rank for media hosting? Maybe. Okay. But you know, in the end, it's about connecting with people, not with robots. And that's basically what's, you know, scrolling your website from Google is a robot. And, that would be that. The other link I put in the chat here is, I found this website, and I think this is the one I found a while back. It's called thebiggestboards.com. And the funny joke about this one, I believe this is, it looks, I remember it being orange. I went to this website and I found a board, because you can see which boards are the biggest. You can say, show me, you know, holistic health and show the biggest count. The last thing you want to do here, and I'm speaking from personal experience, is go, hi, I'm Dave. I have a podcast about holistic health. Listen to it here. Because that's what I did when I was talking about podcasting. This is like 2006. And they went, great, banned. Because I wasn't helping the community. I was just coming in to toot my own horn. So go in and, you know, help people in those boards. make sure, number one, to check your signature policies, and make sure if you're allowed to put a link in your signature, you'll be amazed at the amount of hits you get from your signature. That also goes for email. Put a link in your signature, because a lot of times people may not read the email, but they will they'll click on the last link they see. So, Jim, any other gems?
Yeah, certainly make sure you're taking full use of Google Analytics on your site. You know, it's really simple to go to, you know, google.com/analytics and get their, you know, a little bit of code, and they're making it easier and easier to get that code on your site. So you want to do that. And then they've got some webmasters tools as well, where you can go in and kind of optimize or at least get a ranking on the optimization of your site. They're very candid about how they crawl your site and what is hitting and what is not. And you can sit there. God, you could spend a whole day. Let me tell you, if you want to waste a day, I should say waste. That's the wrong term. If you want to consume a day that you don't have anything else to do, spend some time optimizing your site with Google and getting those numbers, those page rankings kind of moved up. It can take you a lot of time. And I know a lot of guys that have done that, and you can have success with that as well. Also, Ken had said something about not necessarily his website, but on iTunes and on Libsyn. And Dave, maybe you can talk to Libsyn, but iTunes pulls, you know, when you're posting to iTunes, right, it's pulling it right from that site, the title and the stuff that you're putting in, it's pulling it right from that feed that you're using. And so can you just create a Libsyn feed and send that right to iTunes and totally bypass the site altogether?
Yeah, you could. Now, okay. In terms of show notes, you're going to have to put your show notes in Libsyn, you know, over in their blog post as well.
And that's a site, right? It's still a blog site, right?
Yeah, it's just ugly, basically, in a nutshell. But in terms of feed, I know Rob from Libsyn is really pushing people to use the Libsyn feed, because he's saying if you use WordPress and the more plugins you add, the more chance of it ruining your feed. And that's a point, but that's why you check your feed. And it's a hassle when things go bad and only use the plugins you need and things like that. But also, you mentioned here title on iTunes. Make sure that the title of your podcast, the Hillbilly Nerd Talk that I reviewed, his shows were literally like episode 12, 9-12-13. And I understand people want to put the episode number, put it at the end of the title if you have to put it in there, because that beginning, that title of your episode, in some cases, if it's on the phone, only shows the first, let's say, 40 characters. Sometimes, depending on how you're looking at iTunes, only shows so much. And, you know, the episode number and the date isn't going to make me want to click on it. But if it says how you can feel better in less time, I'm going to click on that.
Right.
So make sure
you want a real title there is what you're saying.
Yeah. And 80% of what people read is based on the title when you're talking books.
Right.
And I'm sure it's the same when it comes to listening. I know, speaking of John, aren't we always speaking of John Lee Dumas? He used to have his title of Entrepreneur on Fire. It used to be Entrepreneur on Fire. And then I guess it's called a bar. It's right above the enter key. Seth Godin / Pat Flynn / and it was all the guests that were on his shows that were big, big names. So if somebody was searching for Seth Godin, they could find him on John's show. And I know he has since undone that, because it was, again, from what we heard from different people, that there was more of a higher priority put on in iTunes searching through the title of your actual podcast, not the title of the episode, but the title of the podcast. So people were just cramming keywords in their title, which, like Jim said, looks kind of stupid. You know, it's like, okay, the title of my show is, you know, Dave Jackson's podcast / make money / naked people / you know, it's like, what? It's you're bringing in the wrong people that way. So,
Dave, our time is done.
Is it really? It is.
It is.
I got to teach a class. Doggone it. I'm having fun.
I know. We're back here every Saturday morning, right? 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, right here at School Podcasting, right?
I feel like, I guess we'll to be continued next week. I guess that's what you want. You want to leave people wanting more. And where did he go? I know his last name was Jackson. George
Jackson.
Yeah, buddy. Call in or send me an email. You can contact me, Dave, at schoolofpodcasting.com. You can find everything I do over at schoolofpodcasting.com. Jim, where can they find you?
Right now, everything is over at theaverageguy.tv.
And should say a little plug for myself. If you're looking to start a podcast, you can go over to schoolofpodcasting.com. And my next group coaching class, you can find over at howtopodcast.com. And that starts January 18th, where we meet every... That's what I'm getting ready to do right now. This is the last week of the last class that started a while back. So I'm starting another one in January on the 18th. And you'll meet with me every Saturday for 2 hours. And we go through the entire podcasting process. So if you're interested in that, go over to howtopodcast.com. Jim, anything you want to plug?
How much is that, Dave, if I wanted to do something like that in 6 weeks?
It is right now, I think, I want to say $250, something like that.
Okay.
But if you were to hire me for 12 hours, it would be much more than that.
So. Yeah. No, I think it's a good deal. If you want to start a podcast and you want some help walking through it.
Yeah.
You know, there's things worth paying for still in this world. So if you want to do that, it's worth a look.
Yeah, it is. It's $250. I did think about it because I added some more stuff to it and I adjusted the price and there you go.
Yeah. No, you got to. It's your time, man. I mean, it's worth something. So the best stuff in life isn't always free.
That's right. So there you go. Well, hey, everybody, thanks for joining us. We'll see you next Saturday here, schoolofpodcasting.com/live on Ask the Podcast Coach. Take care, everybody.